Blog Talk Radio.
This is Spiritual Roundtable with Ask Hillary Black, helping you find your own inner guide, lighting the path as you step out on your unique spiritual journey. Let's get right to it. Here's Hillary.
Welcome, everybody, to Spiritual Roundtable. Today is Tuesday, October 11th, and we're here live on air at blogtalkradio.com, and our weekly format is Tuesdays for 1 hour on 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today we'll be joined by Sydney Salt discussing soul readings, and Sydney is an amazing gifted intuitive, relationship counselor, shaman, and ritual facilitator. Next week we'll have, and that's going to be next week, let's see what date I've got here, the 18th, we're going to have Susan Salt regarding aphasonic waves and how it can help you with your ailments. And I want to tell you guys a little bit more about her. First, I'm going to tell you about Spiritual Roundtable, and then we'll have a short commercial break, and then we'll tell you about her, and then we'll bring her aboard. So just to let you guys know, for those who are new to the show, Spiritual Roundtable is a forum that was created to bring together an eclectic group of people to share their knowledge, wisdom, and gifts in the spiritual realm regarding body, mind, and soul, integrating mainstream and holistic modalities. And this venue allows us to reach out to a greater number of people to provide new insights and broadening understanding of times that we are now experiencing. We hope you visit us regularly and use this resource to find your own inner light and to guide you along your spiritual path. And we thank you for sharing an hour of your time with me and my guests. And for those who don't know me, my name is Hillary Black. Yes, Black is my family middle name given at birth, and I've been aware of my gifts since the age of 5 years old. I've been reading professionally for the past 20 years, and I've been helping people help themselves, specializing in transitions, lending my gifts through various modalities such as spiritual readings, coaching, healing, and teaching. I am an intuitive, a medium, a clairvoyant, clairaudient, claircognitive, and empath. I utilize psychometry, tarot cards, and pendulum, and I'm also a magnified healing master teacher level one and a universal life church minister, as well as a life and business coach. I received my coaching education through Coach You, and I reach people throughout the United States and abroad, as countries such as Canada, Mexico, Japan, Germany, as well as France, to name a few, and I have made guest appearances on television, radio. For further information on my philosophy, services, and what I provide, if you'd like a chance to win a free reading, go to my website at askhillaryblack.com and enter your email. The monthly winner for the free 15-minute reading, which is a $50 value, will be announced here the first Tuesday of every month. Last Tuesday, I did not do it. October's winner is Marcella Clark. So she'll be contacted. She has 30 days. The winner has 30 days to redeem the reading once it's been announced. And the next winner for, September's winner. The next winner will be announced on Tuesday, October 1st for October. Again, September's winner is Marcella Clark. So, and professionals and people who would like to be considered as a guest on the show, you may email me at info@askhillaryblack.com, and please put the guest consideration in your subject line and include your website and contact information in the body of your email. And I appreciate your support as we grow, and I look forward to hearing from you. And for Sydney Salt, callers who would like to ask questions for our guest or me, call into the show early at 516-666-9210. Again, it's 516-666-9210. As the queue will fill up quickly, please press 1 if you want a reading. Otherwise, don't press anything if you just want to listen to the show. We can't guarantee we'll get everyone's call tonight, but if you have any questions that weren't answered or would like to know more about Sydney Salt, you can visit her website at thesacredworks.com. Again, that's thesacredworks.com. Or you can visit my website at askhillaryblack.com. All right. And let me go ahead, and we're going to go to commercial break real quick. This is Purple Plates, and they have great energy plates. And check out their website at purpleplates.com. And a little information, and then I'll introduce Sydney and then bring her aboard.
Visit purpleplates.com today. For over 40 years, the Purple Energy Plates have been delivering amazing results for their many customers. Inspired by the great genius Nikola Tesla, the harmony, healing, and energetic effects of the plates have proven over and over to be beneficial and often miraculous to thousands of customers. With their money-back guarantee and the many benefits, how can you afford not to get one? Check their site for daily specials and choose from their many energy products. You won't be sorry. Visit them today at purpleplates.com for mind, body, and spirit. And expect a miracle.
The Spiritual Roundtable with Ask Hillary Black Show is broadcast with the intent to entertain, inform, and bring a metaphysical insight into many aspects of life and the realities that surround us. The information provided is advisory in nature, with no guarantees either stated or implied. This information is not provided as financial, medical, or legal advice, or as any form of counseling or therapy. Please consult trained professionals for any needs in these areas. The opinions expressed by callers and guests on this show are strictly their own and do not necessarily reflect those of this show or its sponsors. This show is copyrighted, all rights reserved, and may not be rebroadcast, retransmitted, copied, or republished in any manner without the express written permission of the show's owner.
Welcome back, and I want to tell you a little bit about Sydney Salt, and then we'll bring her right aboard. And Sydney Salt has been offering spiritual and relationship counseling for over 30 years, and she's the author of Voices in the Dreamtime and Women's Song. She has produced a CD, Meditation for Evolving Humanity, and recorded two of her original prayer songs on Singing for the Soul CD. Sydney was editing consultant and a participant in a documentary trilogy, there we go, Blood Time, Moon Time, Dream Time, Women Bringing Forth Change. As a creative, she facilitates, I'm having a problem today, sorry about that, she facilitates healing rituals as well as original workshops that encourage self-expression, including drum making, ground art, rock reading, ancestral doll making, and creative writing. Her personal joy is creating prayer songs and singing with her group of singer sisters who sing to hospice patients as they transition to their next adventure. As a presenter and a teacher, Sydney has designed hundreds of original workshops, including Claiming Our Unique Genius, Diving Deeply into Love, Where Spirituality and Sexuality Meets, Essence of a Woman, Initiating into the Womb of Creation, to name a few. She is one of 3,000 facilitators worldwide presenting Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream Symposium of the Pachama Alliance to bring awareness for what we can personally and collectively offer to support our planet and all beings at the time of great change. She was National Task Force Coordinator of the Gandhi King Season for Nonviolence Media and Educational Campaign, working with Arun Gandhi, the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi. Sydney managed Rancho Santa Fe and Solana Beach School District's Girl Scouts of America, designing and overseeing programs of self-development for 360 girls and 65 leaders and co-leaders. And as a counselor, Sydney guides people into the unique wisdom to redefine the relationship with themselves and others to bring a deeper meaning, healing, and purpose to the relationships. And she is a certified relationship coach with Calling in the One. So, again, that is what we're going to talk about today, actually, is the unique wisdom that she has to help people redefine the relationships with themselves and others to bring a deeper meaning, healing, and purpose to the relationships. That's really what she does do, and she's quite good at it. As an intuitive salt Sydney calibrates with wisdom, teachers, and ancestors in the invisible realm to assist in disentangling forms of old patterns, experiences, and beliefs. Her private sessions and group presentations can include identifying ancestral patterns, social and cultural beliefs that influence us from living more enlivened lives, and sometimes connecting with loved ones to create resolution, insight, and clarity on the particular issues. So let's bring Sydney aboard.
Hey, Hillary.
How are you doing, Sydney? How are you?
I think I'm all right. Good, thank you.
All right. Well, welcome.
Thank you for having me on tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here with us tonight. So, you have an eclectic background. I personally have had a reading by Sydney, so I want you guys all to know she is very, very good at what she does, really gets to the meat and the heart of the matter. She is very wise, to say the least. I think beyond her years, but needless to say. And Sydney, if you guys want to check Sydney out, again, you go to her website at The Sacred Works, WORKS.com, and you can find out more information about her. But let's find out a little bit more about you. I gave a little bit about your background and your career experience. Is there anything you want to add to that? Or
you did wonderfully. I'm dying to meet this person. I know. I don't think I've ever had it read out, you know, completely like that. And it's kind of like, wow, I really have lived a good life. And that's really what I have come to realize for myself, that it's been a good life so far. And I was never one to be traditional. And actually, I feel I came out of the womb saying, I will not listen to the culture. I will listen very deeply to me and what needs to express through me. So essentially, that's what I bring to others. Today, for example, I was working with a lovely lady, and she just opened up to working more intuitively with herself, using this very cool deck of tarot cards. And so she said, I just want to see what you think of them. And I said, well, let's play. And she had never been invited to do that and to read cards in the way that I encouraged her to read. And my point was to bring across the idea that we all have unique abilities, and that there really is no one way or one truth, in my opinion. There's just the opportunities to really know yourself and know yourself to that degree that you become an expert. And for me, it was a long, long road to returning to a place of love within me and acceptance for the ways that I showed up. And it's for that very reason that I believe I can bring that to others, because I've learned to really love those parts of me that were not accepted by the culture or family or religion, and became my own unique person, which is what I was meant to do.
So as somebody goes along the path of finding themselves in that way, I'm not saying that there's a right or wrong way. What is the average time it takes somebody to figure that out? Or is there an average? I mean, you know, that probably isn't a fair question. There probably isn't one, but I don't know. I mean, I sit here and think, wow, it could take us, you know, our whole lifetimes, but I'm sure that's not necessarily the case. I mean, we're always growing, no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is an interesting question, Hillary, because each person in my is on their own soul journey. And so I've kind of felt that we each have these moments in time when we get to take a leap. In other words, we get to have an experience that is really quite difficult for us. And it gives us that opportunity to go deeper into our own psyche and really see what the truth is for us. So if someone is dealing on the physical level, you know, their experience might take 3 to 5 years regarding their health, for example. If it's on the emotional level, it might be a lifetime of learning. The spiritual level is the same. So to me, these evolutionary leaps that we make that take us deeper, wider, and higher into ourselves. And so I don't think we can quite put a timing on it. I think there are these places where we can reach a nice little plateau and breathe a little more deeply and enjoy the ride a little more thoroughly. But there are always going to be these moments when we are confronted to know ourselves more, regardless of what the circumstances are, whether it's relationship, finances, health, whatever.
So what benefits do you find for someone, or not find for someone, what benefits does someone find for themselves when they truly know themselves?
Good question. I think I'll put it in terms of me, because really I'm my own best expert. The benefit for me was that I came from an environment that was quite chaotic, and there was different kinds of abuse in that environment. And so as I grew up, I became very confrontive. I became angry. I became someone who was not easy to be around. And so by me having an opportunity to examine me, examine my life, I realized just, number one, how lonely I felt. I realized I felt I didn't belong anywhere or with anyone. And so I didn't want to remain in that state. So the biggest benefit for me to go inward and look at my life and look at the patterns and the way that I was responding to life, and where that originated, where that sacred wound was put in place, it brought me to love myself and accept and have compassion for those ways that I was treated. And in that process, I softened. And when I softened, I realized that I was more approachable to people, that both men and women and children and animals, there was a lack of threat around me. People felt safe. And that was probably the most powerful thing for me to do for myself, was to realize that I'm not alone, I'm not unloved, I'm absolutely supported in this world in a way that I wasn't during my, you know, my earlier life. So that was the benefit, is realizing, oh, I'm not isolated as much anymore. People can actually want to be with me. People can see that as I valued me, so they valued me. When I respected me and my process around life, that gave others an opportunity to respect me. You see, the thing is, it's all an inside job. It's all, as you know, it's all energetics. So it's just like someone walking into a room. We all are reading that person in some way or another, and we digest that information based on our own filters, our own life experiences many times. And so the trick is, or the challenge is, can we ourselves go into a room so that we're in a place of welcoming in the goodness that life has to offer, the relationships that we really want in our lives. And that comes with working on the inside and seeing all those places, what I call the sacred wounds, that have not been fully dissolved, even though we might have worked on them and been with them. We can come to a much deeper place of compassion and love for ourselves, and in the process become more open and accepting of others.
Okay, that was really good. I'm sitting here thinking about everything you just said, and I'm like, wow. You know,
yeah.
It's amazing how a spirit uses people to be messengers. So, okay. So what kind of got you on your path? You know, as you just turned around and said, basically it was more about, you just told us, but that's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say was, you know, I find that people, when they go on their path, some of us have certain situations happen in our life that are pretty traumatic or pretty difficult, as you said. You know, one of the situations that you had was pretty traumatic and difficult. But I don't know, how should I say this? Where am I going with the question? What I'm saying is that how can people make an easier transition for them? Some people take 10 years to get there. Some people take 20 years to make that shift. Do you know what I'm saying? How can people get there faster or be more aware to make that shift for themselves, or to be able to come to a place and say, hey, you know, as you explained it so well, in a sense of when you learn to love yourself and when you learn to that you weren't alone in this world and that, you know, there were other people that you softened and people can come around. How does somebody, they really have to have that wake-up call for them to really kind of understand? And if they continually getting that wake-up call, is it because they're not listening to it, or it's just not the right timing? Or what does that mean?
Well, in my experience, there usually has to be some kind of a real catalyst for movement, for change. And I have to say that in my scheme of looking at the world, there are two primary motivators for change that are really kind of powerful. And one is, there's something going on around sexuality that's a very powerful motivator in some way to stimulate movement and change. The second one that I find the most powerful is financial, that money has a great deal to do with our relationships and our ability to feel good about who we are. So just those two, and there, of course, there are others, but those are the two that I find, you know, really potent examples of a catalyst in order to change. So to answer your question, yes, I think most of the time we need some kind of a strong catalyst to take us out of, to shake us to the bones. And then what we have to do then is develop a practice of self-inquiry, develop a practice of tuning in and having compassion as we tune in to thread of knowing, and take it all the way back to the earliest time that we might have experienced the feelings, not necessarily the same act, but the feelings that have made, that are up for us in that moment, in the present moment. So it can be, it depends on how aggressive we are with it. Like in my case, I realized that it was indeed possible to evolve, that I could actually get in touch with some very powerful pieces that belonged in my past. And when I got to those places, I could go into the healing of that by feeling the intensity of the emotions and putting the memories with it. And then as I began to unfold that, I could even take it back further into my ancestry. And I realized that what I was doing and what we, many of us, are doing unconsciously as well as consciously, are clearing our ancestral line of a pattern that's been in place for thousands of years. So what I could tell you on that is, for example, in my family of origin, I got to see that sexuality and the distortion of it has been played out generation after generation after generation. This is what I find so exciting at this time in our lives, is that you and I and everyone else listening onto this call have really in a way been chosen or have volunteered to change the patterns and the thinking and the old beliefs that have been laid down on the planet for thousands of years. We are those beings who are shifting that ancestral line where it's all about fear and victimization and abuse and betrayal and abandonment, all of those really harsh life experiences. We've come to not just experience, but to go through them and lay down a different vibration on the earth. Now, mind you, this is my scheme of looking at the world, and not everyone will go along with this by any means. But that, when I had my daughter, I had my daughter at 33, and what I realized was that before I had her, there was a part of me that had absolutely fallen asleep. I was not fully present. And when I saw that beautiful divine baby, my heart literally popped open in such a way that I knew my life would never be the same. And what I was looking at was the idea I was going to do this work for my daughter and my daughter's daughters and her daughter's sons and daughters, that this was something that individually and collectively many of us have chosen to transcend this painful journey that many of us have experienced on this earth plane. And I'm really not putting a good context in it, and I'm sorry about that, but this is, at least this is part of what I want to share with you, is that I remember, for example, going back to being a seed of consciousness in my mother's womb. I have that memory. And I remember in that moment of not being attached to my mother's womb and feeling this terror, this being, this consciousness in my mother's womb. I was in terror because I didn't know what this world was going to be for me. So I was already programmed right from the beginning there that my world was not necessarily safe. And of course, as I went through my life, that belief kept playing out and playing out until I proved it differently to myself. And I reprogrammed that in me. So not everyone has to do this by any means. But the quicker we can go to the origin of where that sacred wound was placed, the quicker we can move through and come out the other side of it and be free of that conditioning and the program that we end up recreating, that I'm not loved, I'm not wanted, I'm not supported, people are cruel to me, whatever those belief systems are that we've taken on based on those early life experiences.
How do we go into a place of doing that reprogramming?
Well, this is the thing. I did this because I was such a rebellious person. I had to find my own way. I'm a big component of people experimenting with their own lives, hopefully in a healthy way. So, for example, for me, what I discovered is that where did I first start? Okay, I know. I first started by looking at my diet and realizing that the food I was eating was actually numbing me down, was numbing me from my feelings, numbing me from my innate intuitive intelligence. So that was interesting because then I went through this period of completely clearing out my body of the heaviness of the food that I was eating. The second thing I noticed when I did that is that I became much more aware of the energy in our world. And so I began to inquire with that. And that would take me inward. And I realized that in the body holds every memory that we need to access. The body holds every bit of information. It actually holds every potential of an illness. It holds the universe. It is the universe incarnate in us. So my job, I discovered, for me, was to tune in. I started doing meditation, which was a very helpful thing. I started simply breathing in and feeling where in the body there was some discomfort. And when I found that discomfort, I would just sit with it, focus on it, and allow it to speak to me. I would come up with a thought about something. I would come up with, I wanted to cry, so I would cry. I allowed myself to be still enough to feel into what was there that wanted to be expressed. So that was my way of doing it. So for example, when I work with people, and that I kind of, you know, discovered for myself 30 years ago, is that I take people very quickly into their body with their permission when they're ready to do this kind of deep work, take them into their body, and then ask them questions. And the questions are very simple. Where is the discomfort? Where is that place that your body is wanting to say something to you? And then I'll guide them into where that might, what does it bring up? What does it evoke in that person? And sometimes there's a story, sometimes there's an image, sometimes they hear words. It depends on the individual and what their unique abilities are. And then we take it back to where they first experienced that. See, when you go to the core of an experience, you can dissolve it, and you don't have to be bound by it. But when we don't know the core of our hurt, the sacred wounds that we have taken on, then we're somewhat unconscious to ever healing it. Because, in my scheme of things, that once something gets to the physical plane, it's already gotten to a place where it needs our attention. But the real stimulus is actually in the emotional, spiritual aspect of our body. And if we can go to that place, the feeling part of our body, we can more easily and more quickly heal what needs to be healed, so we can be free of it and then move into a healthier relationship, or move into recognizing our work that we really is calling us to do. I have to add one more thing if I haven't lost everybody by this time. one of the things that I discovered in this great shift we're in, and I don't think there is probably anybody that doesn't believe we're in this great turning, this great shift in consciousness on the planet. And what I discovered is that there are many, many what I would call templates or grids that we individually and collectively work out of. And so one of the largest and most common templates is what I call a divine triangle. And at each point on the triangle, there is an aspect of the psyche that is playing out with us. And so in my scheme of things, there is the idea of victimization. And if you look at this, most cultures have an element, a very strong element of victimization. We're either the victim or the one that is perpetrating against a victim. And this is a human experience that we have. The second one is, and what we're meant to do, of course, ultimately, is move from victim, recognize where the victim energy is, move from that into being the creator, the power, being in the power place of creating a new reality for ourselves. The second one has to do with right, wrong thinking. In our culture, in many cultures, there is the belief that there's a right way and a wrong way. In just running the whole gamut of human existence. And again, what that does is create areas of separation and isolation in us. But if we're able to get to that place of recognizing that what's right for me may not be right for you, and I invite you to find what's right for you, then it kind of creates that opening for us to have a closer, more intimate relationship with each other. And that, I believe, is happening. It happens in one-on-one relationships, but it's also happening on the earth plane itself. And, of course, you're seeing it acting out in politics all the time. And the third aspect is the energy of desire. And this has been the most tricky one for me because of my own history of having sexual and physical and emotional abuse. It's taken a long time and still is challenging for me to really hold on to what it is I truly desire. I can go to the human condition of, yes, I want food, I want clothing, I want a safe home, that I can do the survival things, but in order to live a fulfilling and enriching life, I want to be more connected to what do I want? What do I desire that really is important to me? And those things, desire is not a thing. It's a feeling. It's a yearning. It's an ache. It's a pull towards something that is greater than my own personal needs. So those three things is what we're shifting on the planet. And each of us has a part in that in some way or another. And it's very, very powerful when you can put it in that context. That has always given me the courage to go deeper within myself and go, okay, I'm doing it for me, doing it for my daughter, but I'm also doing it because this planet deserves to have a different vibration than the one that it's been played out on for thousands of years.
Okay. So if one wanted to do what you're talking about, and let's see, would they contact obviously you,
yes,
so to speak, correct?
Yes.
They
yes
would contact you to kind of start
I
that process.
So.
Okay.
Yes.
So you said you started reading for others like 30 years ago, is that correct?
Yes, yes. That was part of my awakening, actually, because I had, after having my daughter and realizing just how much love was suddenly ignited in me, I realized how much I had cut myself off from love. Mm-hmm. So I started to go to a parapsychology class where we learned all kinds of, you know, automatic writing. We learned about fairies and devas, and we learned about pendulum work. We learned table tipping and tarot cards and all of that kind of thing. And that was really important because it was a part of my life that I'd had to suppress because the culture, you know, didn't approve of that kind of special intelligence. So I had to really kind of submerge it. But after my daughter's birth, it became imperative for me to take every advantage and come back home to myself. And so a lot of the things that I learned in that class were actually, at first I was very skeptical and very, you know, kind of distant with it all. And then there was one time, it was so funny, my husband at the time was raised a good Catholic boy, and so he was very apprehensive for me to kind of move into this kind of a study area. And then one night when our little girl was about 9 months, I had just learned this idea of table tipping. And table tipping, as you know, was very popular in the 1800s, and it was quite the thing to do kind of a seance table tipping thing to call in those on the other side. And so I began playing with this for myself with a friend of mine. And we started getting children coming in on the table. Basically, they were drawn to us. There was a portal being opened for them. And they came in and they loved the fact that we were laughing and having a lot of fun with it. And we ended up realizing that some of these children didn't really know to move forward into another dimension. And so we were actually assisting them in moving forward into another place of consciousness. So here my husband was kind of looking at all this with much skepticism, bless his heart. I don't know how he managed to put up with us. But one night, my daughter had gotten into a habit of crying in the middle of the night, and I would go in and pick her up, but I couldn't calm her down. And so one night, I said to my spirit, my friends in spirit, I said, okay, I'm still being the skeptical one. You know, if this is, what's the purpose of this? Is this going to help, you know, is this going to help me just to know about this other side? I need, you know, I want to have some kind of empirical knowledge about what this is, how this can benefit. So I asked the beings at that time who were working with me, I asked them, what's going on with my daughter? Why can't I calm her down? And what can I do about it? So I was guided to talk to my husband and ask him that the next time my little baby was crying out loud, that he was supposed to go into her room and pick her up and calm her down. So my husband, who was working very hard at that time, thought it was a conspiracy, of course, but I just didn't want him to get any sleep. And so but he agreed. I just love this man. Anyway, he agreed. And sure enough, my daughter was sleeping, woke up, crying. He went into the room, and instantly, my daughter stopped crying. So by this time, I'm going, okay, this is a challenge for me. I want to know why. So I went back onto the table with my spirit friends, and I said, well, what was that all about? And what they said made sense to me. And it doesn't really matter if it makes sense or if the story is, quote, correct. What I was fascinated with was that it had a result and a positive result. So the story was that my daughter was having what I've named as a bleed through. In other words, sometimes when little babies come in, they're still connected to other lives that they might have lived. They're still connected to, the greater field of awareness. And what was happening with my daughter, she was reliving the life she had lived before she incarnated in this one. And in that life, she was in a camp, like a concentration camp. And it was coming to the end. She had watched her parents die, and she had watched her brother die, and she was the last person in her family. And what she was seeing in her mind's eye was being behind a fence with barbed wire on the top of it and just really feeling alone and isolated. So she was having this kind of a memory coming through for her. So when my husband went into her room and picked her up, she stopped crying. And as we unfolded the story, it was that my husband was one of the American soldiers that liberated the concentration camp. And that little girl in that lifetime was too weak to actually walk out of the camp. So my husband picked her up and carried her out of the camp and took her to get some medical help. So that was the story that came through very early on in my experiences with using the table was that there was information to be had, and it was a story that actually produced a result. Now, will I ever really know what the truth of it was? I don't know. But I do know that it worked and that it created an environment where that didn't have to continue anymore, and it didn't. It stopped instantly from that moment. She didn't have any nightmares because she wasn't reliving whatever it was she was reliving. And my husband's presence, his soul essence, was actually assisting her in making, shifting that old reality to this present life reality. Cool, huh?
It is cool. So I have to ask you, and we'll ask a couple more questions, and then we'll go to, are you able to do a couple readings tonight?
I hadn't thought of it, but I could get my table out, and we could if you want me to.
Okay. Well, and I don't know if we'll go past the 8 o'clock hour. I don't know if that's okay. I don't know what's on your calendar. Certainly, we've got a couple of people in queue. I want to go ahead.
We could give it a try. I'm up for it, so I have the time.
Okay.
As long as if I get tired, then I'll have to we'll have to make it short. But
okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things is I wanted to ask, what is the particular focus of your readings, and why would someone come? Well, why would someone come and see you, and how do they come about getting a reading? What type of readings do you do? Phone readings, in-person readings, that sort of thing. So we'll start with what's the particular focus of your readings?
Well, again, it goes back to that it's really all about relationships. And it's our relationships with ourselves. Excuse me. It's our relationships with another. It's our relationship with what is our thoughts, our sense of what God is for us. So that tends to be the focus, is that what is it about you and your relationship with yourself that is supporting you to move forward? And that's really what I want. I just recently started working with a council of archangels, and I thought, oh my gosh, what does this mean to me? I'm not sure I'm up for that. And what they basically were telling me is that the time now on our planet, I'm sure you're aware of this, Hillary, with your work, is that, those on the other side are so willing to just be present with us, to reassure us we're not alone. They're ready to give their guidance and support and their solace. They want to bring us that sense of wonder and respect and value and curiosity for our own lives. And that's what I want to have. That's what I like to have as my intention. And it's with the similar thing for the Archangel Council. They want to help us uplift and to know that we're not alone and that we can move through whatever that particular hard place is within us.
Okay. And then, as I said, I'm sorry, I had my questions right here, and it just
That's
escaped
okay.
Me.
You're taking it. How to get hold of me? What kind of?
Well, I guess why would someone come see you? But basically, you kind of answered that in particulars of what type of readings you do. I mean, people would actually obviously see you to have a relationship with yourself, to have, you're calling in the one facilitator, or you're certified
right.
in that. Is that the book, Catherine Thomas Woodward?
Yes, that's Catherine's book. Yes.
Yeah, it's an excellent book. It's a good book. So,
so
that's good, guys.
Yeah, so just let
Pardon?
Me add this one little piece. Let me add one little piece. It's what I'm seeing right now with many of us, we are at a point of breaking these old patterns of behavior, of thought, and that's really what I do very well, is help people identify what their pattern is that no longer serves them so they can break free and move into another realm of consciousness for themselves.
And repattern as well. Basically what you did for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So many
exactly.
years ago. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we do what we're good at.
Exactly, exactly, and what we've been through. So the last thing, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, in terms of how to connect, I of course I do it in Southern California, in Vista, at a place called Art Beat that you know of, and I can have in-person readings there. I can do Skype. I offer phone. And I can come to you. One of the things I'm playing with now is to actually, I'd love to do some in-home groups. So if someone wants to put together a group, I love the idea of doing a presentation there and creating an environment for people to experience this as a group. So, yes, I can, have table, I will travel.
Table, and I've seen her with a table, and it's great. It's pretty incredible. So, okay, all right. So the last thing is that they can contact you at thesacredworks.com, and then they can certainly. I'm looking at your website right now. I don't know if there's a phone number on there. Or they can just email you. I believe is the way for them to contact you, because you do have a contact button here. And you can reach her by that, which would be email through your website. Correct.
Yes, or they can just call me, email me directly, Sydney, with a Y, like Sydney, Australia, at thesacredworks.com.
Okay.
And the other thing is, if they want to do a phone number, I have a cell, they can connect with me. I don't know if it's on my website, but it should be somewhere on my website. And that has a 415 area code. It's 415-622-5815. That's 415-622-5815.
All right. So thank you so much for joining our show. We're going to go ahead and just do a couple readings tonight, and then we'll wrap it up. So I appreciate it. And I just have a couple of people. We're going to start with 630-247, and what we're going to do is we'll do team reading is what we'll do. So if you get anything, just jump right in. Hi, welcome to the show. Hello? Hello? 630-247, welcome to the show. Are you there? Well, they've been listening, but they're not there. So, all right, well, thank you for being here. 630-247, welcome to the show. I'll have to put you back on mute. And then we've got 347-463. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Good. And who am I speaking to? Ah, I thought it was you. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. So, do you have any questions for Sydney tonight?
Yeah. Sydney, can you tell me what you see for me with love and relationship and moving away?
Okay. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Would you mind repeating that, please?
Sure. I wanted to know, what do you see for me with love and relationship?
As well as moving away?
Hillary, I'm not getting the question.
Okay, so she wants to know what, in relation to her love and to relationships, what do you see for her in love or in relationships? And then she's looking at moving.
Ah, thank you. I don't know why this three-way isn't working as well as
it's okay. She's really soft. It's not coming loud. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So I have someone that's coming in on the table, and I don't know, do you work with someone in particular when you do your intuitive tuning in?
No, not in particular.
Okay. So this is what I've been working with lately, is the council of archangels. So they're coming in. And let me see if I can tune in a little bit deeper. And if you feel like jumping in, that's okay. It'll take me a minute just to kind of calm it down, calm the energy down. Oh. So what they're giving me or showing me, helping me feel into, is a very soft vibration that is probably very similar to yours, that there is an opportunity for you to to have a relationship, if you aren't already in it, that is very supportive of who you are. The trick, but it's more or less the challenge is to stay true to who you are. In other words, really trust your own knowing, but more particularly, stay tuned in to how you're a valuable person, how you're a precious person. Not necessarily like everyone else, but what is it about you that makes you precious? And this is your work. This is your work right now, your inner work, is to really tune into yourself and feel into your deserving and appreciation of what you bring to a relationship. Okay, that's part one. Part two, about moving away. Did I hear that correctly, about thinking about moving away?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not getting a strong feeling on that. If it is, the potential might be in further down the road, but it's not right now. Things aren't in place for you at the moment. They're saying, you know, that could change more like towards the end of in a year's time, that where it would be beneficial for you to make a change. Yeah, that's all I'm getting. How about you, Hillary?
Yes. Well, I got that in about 6 months she's going to have a better idea of where she wants to go. I got that you have an idea now, my dear, but there's some things that you have to finish before you leave. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And the other thing is that on the love front, what they're telling me is that this is about you being honest with yourself about what you want. And the reason I say that is the Seven of Swords is here in the ninth position, and that has to do with truth and honesty, and then the Ace of Cups is upside down in the tenth position. And Ace of Cups has to do with communication. So this really, again, as Sydney said, it's coming to self. So once you get clear and conscious about who you are and what you want, which is ever-changing, just to let you know, then you have a better understanding of you, so that your energy and your vibration will call out, so to speak, to bring that person who will resonate with you, as Sydney said. As Sydney said, you will bring somebody in who will match your vibration, so to speak. And but by doing so, you have to, as she said, you're doing your inner work now, and that is being really clear about what do you like, what don't you like, what do you want to explore, what are your boundaries, where's your hard lines, you know, or basically the line in the sand. Where are some things that are like, oh, I may be open to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. And do you feel that that's correct?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it's correct. It sounds accurate.
Okay. So you've got some internal work to do for you, and so I feel like in the next 3 months you've got a couple of projects going on, three projects, so to speak. You've got some focus and prioritizing to do for you, and I don't feel like we had talked about before, and I remember you. I just don't remember everything I say. I feel like there's been a relationship that's been on and off, on and off. Is that true?
Yeah, there's someone from my past that I still think about, but I haven't heard from him in like 2 years. So he's like always in and out of my feelings for some reason, my dreams. Like,
right.
So I don't know what it is.
So is this man from the past coming back? I'm not sure if the man from the past is coming back, and I don't know what I've said in the past, but I will tell you that you will have choice. And I do feel that a new man's coming in. I don't know what you get, Sydney, on the new man. I get a new man's coming in. And a gentleman, the guy from the past, I do feel that you could reach out, but I don't see him at this point reaching out. Is he going to reach out by the end of the year? Is he going to reach out in January? He could reach out in January, but really that is your choice if you choose to reach out to him. But I feel the reason that you're not talking to him or connecting with him at this moment is you really need to be or want to be clear in it, what it is that you want, so that if you guys go a second round, so to speak, then you guys will know if you're in alignment or not, or you're on the same page. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I'm trying to figure that out about myself now.
Yeah. Sydney, what are you getting?
I totally agree with you, Hillary. I got the same information. I do think there is someone new coming in. I don't see a lot with this, with whatever's going on right now. I think probably that energetics of that person that you're sensing is perhaps tied into your own indecisiveness in some way. And that's what Hillary was saying is true, is get clear on your own desires. And the way I was suggesting was to really see how valuable you are, you know, what it is you bring to the world or you bring to another, and put your focus there. Because remember that we are, when we attract a mate, many times it's to see aspects of ourselves that we are ready to heal or expand. And so the more loving we are to ourselves, the more we stand for ourselves, set healthy boundaries, the more likely you're going to have a mate who will be able to honor and respect you and have clear boundaries as well. So like Hillary was saying, you know, do some more work and just allow yourself to know that the right person will be coming in, which might be better than you originally think if you were to jump right now into a relationship.
Okay. Yeah.
All righty. Thank you for Tanika for calling. We'll talk
Thank
to you next
you.
Week.
Yes, definitely.
All righty.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to try 630-247 one more time. Welcome to the show. How are you doing? And we don't have a person, but they're listening. So glad you're here. And so I want to thank you, Sydney, for being on the show. It was lovely. I really enjoyed it. And anytime you're welcome to come back. We have so much to talk about next time. You have so much to offer, no doubt about it. You've done quite a bit. And, you know, I really wanted to dive into some other things that you talked about. So we'll have to get you on the calendar, you know, certainly about your presentations, you know, Awakening the Dreamer and Changing the Dream Symposium, and some other things that you've done that I would love to talk about. But certainly this is definitely great knowledge, really appropriate. It's amazing how God works in mysterious ways and brings people in as a messenger, and it's just so appropriate. So everything that you said was just perfect and in divine order. So I thank you for being here. Anyone who would like to contact Sydney Salt, you can go to thesacredworks.com. Everyone, we'll see you next week. And thank you, Sydney. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Hillary, and thank you, everyone. Bye for now.
Bye.
This has been Spiritual Roundtable with Ask Hillary Black. Hillary is a spiritual reader, healer, coach, teacher, and radio show host. To find out more about Ask Hillary Black, including the services offered, testimonials about her work, or to schedule a session, please visit our website at www.askhillaryblack.com. This show is available on iTunes and on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and you'll never miss an episode. Until next time, thank you for listening to Spiritual Roundtable with Ask Hillary Black.